from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, January 5th, 2023. Coming up this hour,
more setbacks for Kevin McCarthy in his quest to be Speaker of the House.
Amazon is cutting more than 18,000 jobs.
The Fed pushes back against rate cut bets as it tries to tackle inflation.
And investors await two more key readings on the labor market ahead of tomorrow's jobs report.
Mourners pay their respects at the funeral for former Pope Benedict. Plus, President Biden says he intends to visit the U.S.-Mexico border. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Knicks pulled out a narrow home win over the Spurs. The Nets' win streak ended at Chicago. The Devils won in Detroit.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. In U.S. stock index futures, are a little changed to higher this morning. We check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. Right now, again, S&P, NASDAQ, and Dow futures, little change to higher. The DAX in Germany, also little change. 10-year Treasury, down 2/32, yield 3.69%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.37%. NYMEX crude oil on the rise, up 2.3%, up $1.73 at $74.56 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.3%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on markets in a minute, but we begin with the political turmoil continuing in Washington, D.C. The House has adjourned once again without electing a speaker. Let's get the latest from Amy Morris in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in the nation's capital.
20 hardline conservatives are blocking GOP leader Kevin McCarthy's ascension to House Speaker, and Pennsylvania's Scott Perry is one of them.
Because we all acknowledge and we all know that Washington is broken, we must take a new path.
Florida's Kat Kamick called on the GOP to support McCarthy.
He has proven that he is willing to stand up in the face of critics and not only prove them wrong, but work with them.
House Republican leaders held a meeting late yesterday to hammer out a deal. Still no resolution. Lawmakers reconvene at noon today to begin a seventh round of votes. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Well, the standoff on Capitol Hill is getting attention from the White House. President Biden says he hopes Congress can, quote, get their act together.
To be able to have a Congress that can't function is just embarrassing. We're the greatest nation in the world. How can that be?
President Biden says dysfunction with the GOP is not a good look to the rest of the world.
Now, we're hearing reaction from former members of Congress as well, Karen. Democrat Tim Romer is a former representative from Indiana. He says Republicans voting against McCarthy seem determined to take him down, and Democrats have little reason to come to his rescue.
The Democrats are in a very good position right now. There is no incentive for them to help Kevin McCarthy out of this deep, dark well and hole that he has dug for himself.
Former Congressman Tim Romer was a guest on Bloomberg Sound On with Joe Matthew. You can catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and listen to the show on demand wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, another major story we're following this morning, Nathan, brings us to Amazon. We're learning job cuts at the company will be greater than initially anticipated, with Amazon planning to eliminate over 18,000 roles. And Bloomberg's Doug Krisner has the details.
The figure includes cuts announced back in November when about 10,000 workers lost their jobs. Uncertainty over the outlook caused Amazon to accelerate layoffs. CEO Andy Jassy told employees the company typically waits to communicate these outcomes until it speaks with those directly impacted. But the information was leaked to the Wall Street Journal, so the news was shared earlier and directly from Jassy. Most of the cuts are in Amazon's retail division and human resources. Jassy has already eliminated or curtailed experimental and unprofitable businesses. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. And those Amazon cuts come as we await two key readings on the labor market today ahead of tomorrow's jobs report. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Mike McKee.
The Fed is focused on employment. As they raise rates to slow the economy, unemployment should rise. So far, it hasn't. Jobless claims have remained low and steady, although economists say it's difficult to get a clear read on layoffs during the holidays, so don't expect a big change in claims yet. ADP measures the number of people on payrolls. In theory, that should point to the direction of the overall labor market. ADP, however, has diverged from the government's payroll report, coming in weaker for the past 5 months. Bottom line, markets are likely to look past today's data to Friday's numbers, figuring that's what the Fed will be doing. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Meantime, the Fed is standing firm on its resolve to bring down inflation. And we get the latest live with Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. With that resolve comes a delicate balancing act for the Federal Reserve. In a blunt warning to investors, minutes from the last policy meeting show the central bank will not cave to public pressure to lower interest rates. The Fed is attempting to cut inflation without triggering a recession, but J.P. Morgan chief U.S. economist Michael Feroli tells Bloomberg it's likely too late to achieve that goal.
We are expecting the economy to slip into recession by the end of the year, just due to the lagged effect of the tightening in financial conditions that the Fed has engineered here, as well as the additional rate hikes that they're signaling today.
The notes also highlight the Fed's rate projections being notably above market expectations from a policy standpoint. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. Well, the S&P and NASDAQ shook off Fed caution yesterday, snapping 2 days of losses, but Morgan Stanley chief U.S. equity strategist Mike Wilson, who correctly predicted last year's dismal market, says stocks are heading even lower.
We think 3,000 is a very achievable number, given our confidence on our earnings forecast. Ironically, I would say in the absence of a recession, meaning companies decide to not get off aggressively, that target looks more achievable. That may sound counterintuitive, but that's the way we're modeling it today. So our bear case is actually kind of we avoid a recession, but not the slowdown.
If that prediction from Morgan Stanley chief U.S. equity strategist Mike Wilson comes true, stocks would decline more than 20% from current levels.
Well, Nathan, S&P and Dow futures are a little changed this morning. NASDAQ futures up 0.1% or 12 points, and the 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.68%. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 6:07 on Wall Street now, 49 degrees in Central Park. I've patchy fog this morning. It's going to stay cloudy and cooler today with highs in the low 50s. Maybe a shower tonight. We'll get down to the low 40s. And Michael Barr is here now with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Pope Francis delivered the homily at the funeral mass for former Pope Benedict.
Benedetto. Fedele amico dello sposo.
In Italian, Pope Francis said, Benedict, may your joy be complete as you hear his voice. Mourners gathered in St. Peter's Square outside the Vatican today, where Benedict is being laid to rest. George Mason University professor Helen Alvary spoke about Benedict's legacy.
I think he's a model of humility and modesty. He was definitely a servant of the church. He didn't want to come to Rome. He wanted to stay in Germany and remain a theologian. He didn't want to be head of the office of doctrine, but John Paul II really twisted his arm. And he really did not want to be pope. He thought, he was not great enough for it.
Benedict will be buried in the crypt under St. Peter's Basilica. President Joe Biden says he intends to visit the U.S.-Mexico border next week for a firsthand look at conditions as his administration contends with a surge in migration. Biden is already scheduled to travel to Mexico next week to meet with the presidents of Mexico and Canada. He wanted violence. That's what investigators in New York City say about Trevor Bickford, arrested for allegedly attacking three police officers near Times Square on New Year's Eve. The 19-year-old from Maine was arraigned yesterday and charged in the machete attack. It's a war of words between New York City Mayor Eric Adams and former Mayor Bill de Blasio's administration. Adams is calling on his predecessor to stop his team from criticizing the current administration.
I called Bill the other day. I said, Bill, what's going on? What's going on? And then Bill's comms guy, who's probably the worst comms guy in the history of communication.
Adams is talking about de Blasio's former spokesperson, Bill Neidhart, who has been increasingly critical of Adams on Twitter. Adams said they had 8 years to do their job. Once they're gone, they're experts on everything. Heavy rains and strong winds hit California overnight as a powerful bomb cyclone washed ashore, knocking out power. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Knicks lost to the lowly Spurs a week ago in San Antonio. Jalen Brunson didn't play that game. He did play last night at the Garden. He scored 38 points. That's a career high in the regular season. The Knicks pulled out the win, 117-114. The Nets brought their 12-game winning streak to Chicago. The Bulls won, 121-112. Despite 44 points by Kevin Durant, the Nets' first loss in a month. Devils won 5-1 at Detroit. They're back home tonight. Road game tonight for both the Rangers and Islanders. College hoops, Fordham lost a tight one at Rhode Island, 82-79. Big East, Providence beat UConn. The Huskies were 14-0. Now they've lost their last two. And Georgetown, with a loss to Villanova, has now lost 25 consecutive Big East games under Coach Patrick Ewing. ACC, NC State beat Duke by 24. Duke was down 22 at halftime. The Red Sox, having allowed shortstop Xander Bogaerts to become a free agent, losing him to San Diego, holding on to all-star third baseman Rafael Devers. New contract, 11 years, $331 million. Jets close out the season Sunday in Miami. It seems as if every press conference for Jets coach Robert Saleh, a discussion of where things stand with benched quarterback Zach Wilson.
Zach has got all the talent in the world, and we have all the confidence in the world in him. It's just, like I said, from this reset, we're gonna grind with him. We are. And through hell or high water, we're going to figure out how to get him to where we know he can be.
Mike White will be Saleh's starter Sunday. The Dolphins likely to start rookie QB Skylar Thompson. Miami, who, like the Jets, has lost five in a row, can still make the playoffs with a win and a New England loss in Buffalo. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Hey, John, thank you. And the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. Set you up for day three of voting for Speaker of the House on Capitol Hill just ahead. First, we'll take a look at futures. They're starting to get some traction here. S&P futures up 6 points. Dow futures up 30. NASDAQ futures now up 0.25%, up 28 points.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on Sirius XM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager, and we are coming up on day three of voting in the U.S. House of Representatives on whom to elect as a new speaker. Kevin McCarthy, the House Republican leader, has failed to pick up any support. After six straight rounds of voting, at this point there is little end in sight to the standoff with 20 or so now holdout Republicans. Let's get something of an international perspective on what's happening in our nation's capital. Julie Norman joins us live from London this morning, co-director of the Center on U.S. Politics at University College London. Julie, it's great to speak with you once again. We heard President Biden yesterday say the dysfunction on Capitol Hill isn't a good look with the rest of the world watching. So how is this standoff being viewed from where you sit?
Well, good morning, Nathan. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, as we know from the U.S., this is such an unprecedented situation. So I think for people overseas, just trying to underscore that this is not usual, and everyone, just like Americans, trying to see where will this go. I mean, this isn't obviously the same level of concern as, say, some of the incidents we've seen over the last 2 years, say January 6th. But it is just a question of what is happening with U.S. politics. Can Republicans get it together? And what happens when the Congress is essentially not functioning for days or even weeks on end?
I know you've been watching this since it's been unfolding, even before the voting began, when presumably Leader McCarthy was doing a bit of horse trading with some of those holdout Republicans who now seem determined to block him from becoming speaker. Do you see any path to a compromise here within the Republican Party in the U.S. House?
Yeah, well, Nathan, it's interesting. I mean, McCarthy has already made multiple compromises, as you said, before the vote, agreeing to measures such as allowing a vote to oust the speaker with just five members of the party voting to do so, making some other concessions. But I do think that we heard some chatter that last night some further negotiations have been going on. Some of the demands of the oppositionists has been for allowing that vote to oust the speaker from just one member of the party. That's apparently something that McCarthy is considering, though that would make that speaker position very, very tenuous to hold on to. There's requests to have more of this particular group on the House Rules Committee and pushing different kinds of floor votes. So these are still some of the demands, so to speak, that were not yet agreed to by McCarthy. Again, there's some murmurs that that those might be negotiated overnight. So we'll see what happens when they reconvene at noon today.
Yeah, while we wait for that reconvening, Congress remains at a standstill. It can't do anything until they elect a speaker. What does this situation foretell potentially about this Congress's ability to get anything done over the next 2 years?
Yeah, well, we already knew that it was going to be tough with the very slim majority for Republicans, that obviously legislation would be, tough to get through, and that even the party would be quite beholden to any small group within it, such as this group of 20 that we're seeing now. I don't think anyone thought that leverage would be wielded quite as heavily quite so soon, but it's a very clear indication that whoever ends up in the leadership is going to, really be governing with almost with a gun at their head, that they know the leadership can be pulled out from under them very quickly. They know they're going to have to make a lot of compromises to get any votes. And we can expect that issues like the budget, issues like the debt ceiling will be, that no holds will be barred on making concessions and trying to force compromises on those issues.
I mean, when you use an analogy like that, a speakership with a gun to their head, I mean, we know that Kevin McCarthy has had this ambition for years, but if he does step aside, I mean, is there anyone who's going to be willing to step forward into this kind of fractiousness?
Yeah, I think that obviously that's been the challenge, for this whole week, is there's no clear alternative. I mean, we obviously have heard, Steve Scalise could fall into that role. Some have said Jim Jordan. I think even they would be very hard pressed. Jim Jordan especially would be seen as very much a firebrand in a position that's, a very different kind of role than that. So I think the Republicans are up against it with who will be able to take that role and stay in that role. And my guess is that, it wouldn't be unsurprising if we see that role shifting several times over these next 2 years, especially if the rules change with how they might be ousted.
Got about 30 seconds left here, Julie. But what do you make of Byron Donalds, Republican alternative emerging yesterday? Where did he come from?
Yeah, so Donalds, he's only a sophomore. He was elected in 2020 to the House from the state of Florida. And it's someone that I think, many thought maybe down the line would be in the leadership position, but certainly very premature to see that now. Again, he's a name that was floated, I think, more as a placeholder than anything else. I think it would be very hard to get all Republicans behind him, but he was seen as a alternative to, say, Jim Jordan, other names that were being floated just to kind of carry the votes through this week.
All right. Well, we'll see if there's any further movement. Hasn't been much of that over the last 2 days, but we continue to monitor it all on Capitol Hill. Julie Norman with the University College London Center on U.S. Politics. Great, as always, to get your perspective. Thanks again for being with us this morning. Futures starting to move a bit higher now. We have S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 29. NASDAQ futures, a gain of 0.3% now, up 30 points. And the 10-year Treasury is down 1/32nd, yield 3.68%. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 0.1% or 5 points. Dow futures little change. NASDAQ futures up 0.2% or 25 points. And the 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.68%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the U.S. House will resume session later today after Kevin McCarthy and GOP dissidents failed to reach a deal on the California Republicans' bid to become Speaker. Pope Francis is at the funeral for former Pope Benedict. NBA, the Knicks won, the Nets and Warriors lost. The hockey action, the Devils won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists, analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:22 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I want to shift gears now to a very specific part of the U.S. economy. As growth slows, one area of investment is piquing some interest. Latinos are the fastest-growing demographic of U.S. entrepreneurs, and Latino-owned businesses have historically seen underinvestment. But that may be set to change. Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo has more in this special report.
The total economic output of U.S. Latinos was $2.8 trillion in 2020. Yet despite being a key driving force of the U.S. economy, experts say the capital isn't flowing toward the growth. According to the Latino Business Action Network, Hispanic-owned businesses have grown 44% in the last 10 years, compared to just 4% for non-Latinos. But less than 2% of the available venture capital funding in the U.S. goes into this cohort.
This is the best economy in the world, the free enterprise system, but it largely excludes small businesses and minority-owned businesses even today.
Ramiro Cavazos is the president and CEO of the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
And a big part of it, I think, is just relationships, it's networks. You know, I hate to say it, we're largely invisible.
In order to make those connections, Ana Valdez, president and CEO of the Latino Donor Collaborative, says more VCs need to get out of their comfort zone.
You need to start reaching out to places where you actually never reached, people that may not be as well-versed, that may not come from your environment, that may not look like you, that may not talk like you, but that are making a lot of money.
Anthony Alcazar is finding himself in the middle of the struggle. His company, Mr. Tortilla, is number one on Amazon. They've expanded their product line and just opened a second factory.
My projections are 30 million for 2023, 60 million for 2024, 100 million for 2025. And I can't get a fair shake.
He says the offers he has received include a majority stake in his business.
We worked a whole life for this. And so if I lose control ownership now, I can't guarantee that they're going to uphold the same philosophies and run our business the way we want to run it.
That's why Latino venture capitalists and banking and community lenders and CDFIs, community development and finance institutions, we got to get them to step up.
Latitude Ventures is doing just that. The company recently launched a $100 million fund focused on Latino-founded early-stage businesses.
We're looking hard. We're creating the pipeline. We're creating the visibility so that any Latino and Latina that has been shut out, that they can come here and they're going to get a fair look.
Company president Sol Trujillo has his own prediction.
My bet is between now and the end of the decade, $1 trillion of capital should be flowing here so that we can grow GDP at a highly competitive rate versus doing it the same way.
Valdez puts that growth into perspective.
If Latinos got the same proportion of credit as whites are given, it would translate into adding $3.3 trillion of revenue of companies in this country.
But it's not only venture capital funding. LBAN reports the odds of loan approval from national banks are 60% lower for Latino-owned businesses. Industry leaders say it comes down to diversification.
It's a proportionate representation at all levels in the bank, from the board all the way to the C-suite, all the way to the executive branch, and then to the branches.
Actress, singer, and entrepreneur Jennifer Lopez is looking to change the playing field. In 2021, Lopez launched Limitless Labs to raise funds for Latina entrepreneurs, including a partnership with Goldman Sachs. And this past June, Lopez partnered with Grameen America to help distribute $14 billion in loans to 600,000 Latina business owners by 2030.
The future of this economy will depend on small businesses and Latino-owned businesses because of sheer demographics.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, more than half of the total U.S. population growth between 2010 and 2020 came from Hispanics. And with Latino entrepreneurs starting small businesses faster than the rest of the startup population, the rising tide will lift all boats. In New York, I'm Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, and our thanks to Lisa Mateo for that special report, along with producer Sebastian Escobar. S&P futures right now are higher by 3 points. Dow futures up 10. NASDAQ futures up 20 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 2/32, yield 3.69%. We'll get a fuller check of markets just ahead, plus this morning's top stories and your local headlines. First, we want to check in with Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin for a look at our weekend weather forecast.
Patchy fog this morning will give way to cloudy skies. Temperatures a little cooler today around the tri-state area. It's 50 to 55 this afternoon. We'll have clouds and maybe a shower overnight, lows 40 to 45. Turning partly sunny tomorrow, high pressure heads our way. We're 45 to 50. Partly sunny and 45 Saturday. It remains partly sunny into Sunday, but cooler high Sunday around 40. I'm Rob Carolin with your weekend forecast on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
We're coming up to 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by IBKR. Interactive Brokers clients earn interest of up to 3.83% on the idle cash in their brokerage accounts. Visit IBKR.com/interest rates to learn more. Rates subject to change. Up first, the House of Representatives has adjourned once again after six rounds of voting without electing a speaker. 20 conservatives are blocking Kevin McCarthy's path to the speakership. Now the standoff is drawing negative attention from President Biden.
It's embarrassing for the country. I mean, literally, I'm not making a part of this reality.
President Biden says the GOP dysfunction is not a good look to the rest of the world. Lawmakers reconvene at noon today for a seventh round of votes.
Well, the dissenting Republicans, Karen, don't have a specific candidate in mind for the speakership. That's according to former Indiana Democratic Representative Tim Romer, who tells us GOP dissenters just want to oppose McCarthy.
These four or five or 20 will see this as a real victory, just taking McCarthy down.
Former Congressman Tim Romer spoke on Bloomberg Sound On with Joe Matthew. You can catch the show weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, another major story we're following this morning, Nathan, involves those job cuts at Amazon. The company plans to eliminate just over 18,000 roles, more than was initially announced in November. Most of the cuts will come in Amazon's retail division and human resources department.
As for the broader economy, Karen, all eyes remain on the Fed. The central bank is affirming its resolve to bring down inflation, and Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with more. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Despite that resolve, policymakers say they're not afraid to keep interest rates high, at least in the short term. Minutes from their last meeting note an unwarranted easing of financial conditions, especially if driven by a misperception by the public of the committee's reaction function, would complicate efforts to restore price stability. The central bank's goal is to eventually bring inflation down to 2% while keeping the economy out of a recession. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. Well, the S&P and NASDAQ shook off Fed caution yesterday, snapping 2 days of losses. But Morgan Stanley Chief U.S. Equity Strategist Mike Wilson says with earnings around the corner, investors need to gear up for rough days ahead.
We're going to get a nasty earnings recession. And so the companies that can deliver on the cost efficiency are the ones that are going to continue to perform until you fully price, you know, whatever this downturn on earnings are going to be.
And Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson thinks stocks could decline more than 20% from current levels. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And futures this morning, they're a little changed, S&P and Dow futures anyway. NASDAQ futures are higher. They're up 0.2%. They've been adding to their gains, up about 19 points right now. The DAX in Germany is a little changed. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 3.69%, and the yield on the 2-year, 4.38%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:31 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is back with us for a look at what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Mourners poured into St. Peter's Square for the funeral of former Pope Benedict. Bells tolled and the crowd applauded as pallbearers carried out Benedict's Cyprus coffin out of the basilica and rested it before the altar. Helen Alvary is a George Mason University professor.
He's going to be remembered as one of the greatest intellects in the history of the church, which is saying something in 2,000 years. He is going to be the person who pursued all the great questions in, you know, more than 65 books and probably hundreds of articles.
Heads of state, royalty, and clergy from around the world flocked to the Vatican. It is a war of words between New York City Mayor Eric Adams and former Mayor Bill de Blasio's administration. Adams is calling on his predecessor to stop his team from criticizing the current administration.
I am so tired of the previous administration and their antics.
Adams slammed de Blasio's former spokesperson, who has been increasingly critical of Adams, on Twitter. The mayor said they had 8 years to do their job. Once they're gone, they're experts on everything. President Joe Biden says he intends to visit the U.S.-Mexico border next week for a firsthand look at conditions as his administration contends with a surge in administration. in migration, I should say. Rick Singer, the mastermind of the nationwide college admissions bribery scheme that ensnared celebrities and prominent people, was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael. Thank you. Now it's 6:33 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stanshaw.
Good morning, Nathan. San Antonio's Spurs came to New York, lost by 36 at Brooklyn. It was much closer at the Garden. The Spurs had a chance to tie the game at the end. Knicks held on, 117-114. Jalen Brunson scored 38. The Knicks play tomorrow in Toronto. The Nets' 12-game winning streak came to an end in Chicago. The Bulls won 121-112. In the loss, Kevin Durant, 44 points. Kyrie Irving added 25. Seth Curry, 22. The rest of the team combined for only 21. Donovan Mitchell's first game since he poured in 71 points. He was held to 20, but the Cavs won over Phoenix. Giannis Antetokounmpo, coming off a career-high 55 points, settled for 30 at 21 rebounds, 10 assists. Milwaukee beat Toronto. Lakers played without LeBron James. He was out sick. They still beat Miami. And Detroit hit a three-pointer at the buzzer for an upset win at Golden State, who had only lost twice all year at home. Devils, a 5-1 win at Detroit. DeMar Hamlin said to be showing signs of improvement from his cardiac arrest Monday in Cincinnati. Quarterback news going to Week 18. Washington will have its third different starting QB in the last 3 weeks, now going with rookie Sam Howell. Arizona is turning to a fourth different QB, David Blau, against the Red Hawk 49ers. Chicago starts Nathan Peterman for the injured Justin Fields. Miami will likely go with rookie Skylar Thompson against the Jets. It's not known yet if Jalen Hurts will return from injury for Philadelphia. The Eagles host the Giants. Jim Harbaugh spoke with the Carolina Panthers, but said he expects to remain as the coach at Michigan. John Stashow, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. Right now, S&P futures are up 3 points, Dow futures up 2, NASDAQ futures gaining some ground here, up 20 points, 10-year treasuries down 4/32, yield 3.69%, NYMEX crude up 2.3% or $1.67, a barrel of West Texas Intermediate right now costs $74.51. 6:35 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about Disney Plus bringing IMAX quality sound to Marvel movies you watch at home.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Exxon says lower oil and natural gas prices had a negative impact on its most recent quarter.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WTVN in Columbus, I'll be reporting on the latest manpower survey that says job creation may slow some in the first quarter, but it will not stall as employers continue to deal with a global talent shortage.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Radio in London. We've been reporting on the Prime Minister laying out the 5 pledges he wants the electorate to judge his government on, including fixing inflation and the economy.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors is once again the top auto seller in the U.S.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. 6:36 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Starting this week, travelers on U.S.-bound flights from China will have to be tested for COVID-19. Other countries are implementing similar new restrictions. Given the scale of the outbreak currently ravaging China, such moves make sense. But on their own, they aren't enough to manage the global risk posed by the virus. The U.S., for its part, should maintain its efforts to supply China with more potent mRNA vaccines. It should also lead a swift, coordinated global effort to boost genetic sequencing, which can help track variants. Critics of testing before travel are right. It won't prevent all transmission. But combined with common sense precautions, better surveillance, and more vaccines, it should help keep the worst effects of the virus at bay. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Another story we're following this morning involves Dell. The PC maker reportedly wants to phase out semiconductors made in China by 2024. This is according to Japan's Nikkei News Service. Dell is also reportedly telling its suppliers to significantly reduce the amount of other components they produce in China. Dell reportedly wants to diversify its supply chain because of concerns about tensions between the U.S. and China. Right now, futures are moving a touch higher. S&P futures are up 4 points. Dow futures up 11 now. And NASDAQ futures up 0.25%, a gain of 27 points. 10-year treasuries down 4/32, the yield 3.69.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Innovation Refunds. This is your daily reminder from Innovation Refunds to apply for a payroll tax refund if your small or medium-sized business was impacted by COVID-19. Innovation Refunds clients already claimed over $2 billion in payroll tax refunds. Get started at GetRefunds.com. And futures, they are a little changed this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now. Dow futures down 3 points. S&Ps are higher by 3. And NASDAQ futures rise by 17. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.7%. Gold is down 6. Oil trading in the green. And Bitcoin is little changed. Hong Kong rose 1.3% overnight, while European markets are also little changed this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:15, ADP employment change. At 8:30, initial jobless claims. And at 9:45, S&P Global Services and composite PMIs. Regarding earnings this morning, look for ConAgra, Walgreens, and Constellation Brands to report in the pre-market. And in other news, Amazon cut more than 18,000 jobs. Wrapping things up, CME was raised to outperform at Credit Suisse. Baxter was cut to market perform over at Raymond James. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news of your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Here in the House of Representatives will try now for a third day to lock in a speaker. Disagreements among Republicans led to Kevin McCarthy losing now a total of 6 votes. Pope Francis is presiding over a funeral mass for former Pope Benedict before thousands of mourners in St. Peter's Square. Officials in California ordered evacuations in high-risk coastal areas as a huge storm barreled into the state. It is bringing high winds and rain that threaten widespread flooding and knocked out power to more than 100,000 people. In the NBA, the Knicks won, the Nets and Warriors lost. In hockey, the Devils won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
Michael Barr, thank you. It is 6:42 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news in science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Shortages of computer chips and other parts continued to hobble the U.S. auto industry last year, contributing to vehicle sales dropping 8% from 2021 to their lowest level in more than a decade. Automakers reported that they sold 13.9 million cars, trucks, SUVs, and vans last year as the parts shortage limited factory output amid high demand for new vehicles. It was the lowest sales number since 2011 when the economy was recovering from the Great Recession. The Securities and Exchange Commission is pushing back on Binance U.S.'s plan to buy bankrupt crypto lender Voyager Digital. The deal is valued at about $1 billion. In a court filing, the SEC says the agreement does not include enough detail about Binance's ability to close the deal. Binance says it will provide any requested information. And Dell reportedly wants to phase out semiconductors made in China by 2024. According to Japan's Nikkei, the computer maker also has told suppliers to significantly reduce the amount of other components produced in China. Dell is said to want to diversify its supply chain because of concerns about U.S.-China tensions. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:44 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the ongoing stalemate in the U.S. House of Representatives. A deal on Kevin McCarthy's speaker bid remains elusive. Also making news, the Biden administration urging the Supreme Court to back student debt relief, and President Biden planning to speak about border security today as he plans a trip to the southern border next week. Let's bring in Bloomberg Government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick, who, of course, has been following the ongoing turmoil on Capitol Hill all week long. Jack, doesn't seem like any daylight is breaking through for Kevin McCarthy and these, what, 20 or so holdout Republicans. Do we expect that to change at all today?
You know, they're still talking. They, according to McCarthy, have had some good conversations. And in fact, Chip Roy, who's one of the more vocal detractors, came out of a meeting late yesterday saying it was a good conversation. They're not there yet. They declined to hold another vote on the speaker after some of those further negotiations yesterday, because it didn't seem like it would make a difference. But I think they may be sussing out who's absolutely 100% dug in against McCarthy and who is interested in continuing to talk. And in fact, the vote that they held at the end of the day to adjourn was a little bit of a procedural success, because at least the holdouts didn't continue to demand further votes rejecting him, and essentially worked with the rest of the party to just let the issue die for that day. That was a very close vote, but it does look like Lauren Boebert, Andy Biggs, Matt Gaetz, and Eli Crane are the four that McCarthy's not going to get. He can afford to lose four, but he'd have to win everybody over. So it's still a tough situation for McCarthy, and they're going to just have to continue to talk about this.
And while we wait for any potential resolution here, Jack, you've got a piece on the Bloomberg Terminal this morning about what this standoff could potentially mean when it comes to this Congress's ability to actually get necessary legislation done.
Yeah, this is, I think, the first illustration of a huge challenge for the next 2 years, given the very, very narrow House majority and a wing of conservative sort of anti-leadership Republicans who are not going to go along with whatever the whip count says they should do. And that's very important for a debt limit vote that's going to happen maybe midway through the year or into the third quarter of the year, and also government funding and trying to avoid a shutdown in October. So they've got a little time to get their ducks in a row. But, you know, Ralph Norman, for example, who's one of the holdouts, said he wants a speaker who is willing to shut the government down. This is going to be very, very difficult when it comes to must pass pieces of legislation. You know, I talked to one former staffer who worked for people like Newt Gingrich and Dennis Hastert when they were a speaker, and she said it's very different now because the anti-leadership conservative Freedom Caucus wing is much less interested than in previous generations in calls to get the party to band together. So the whip count on must pass bills is going to be very difficult going forward.
Yeah, and something to watch, particularly for markets, when you think about the implications for the full faith and credit of this country. But in the meantime, Jack, there was another important story developing overnight in Washington. The Biden administration making its argument now to the Supreme Court about student debt relief.
Yes, they basically filed their papers arguing that the student debt relief plan by the Biden administration is legal. The actual arguments before the Supreme Court are set for February 28th, so it'll take a while for us to get even to the real arguments. But this is the beginning of that process, essentially, and they are justifying this with a law that allows the executive branch to suspend debt payments student debt payments under the authority of the Secretary of Education during national emergencies. They're pointing to the economic effects of the coronavirus pandemic. So there's an argument over whether that law actually applies here. There's also an argument over whether these states have standing to sue, because you have to show that you're being directly harmed by the policy. They're arguing that a nonprofit that contributes funding to Missouri, is being put into a financially risky situation. So there's going to be a couple arguments on whether, a law that allows, a pause in payments under national emergencies actually applies to this scenario, but also whether the states have the standing to sue.
All right. Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick, keeping us apprised of all developments in the nation's capital. Of course, we've been watching it very closely with the standoff over the speakership vote. Jack, thanks for this. And you can read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures right now higher by 4 points. Dow futures a little change to the upside now, up 15. And NASDAQ futures a gain of 0.2%, 25 points higher for the NASDAQ futures contracts. 10-year treasuries down 3/32 right now, yield 3.69%. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are gaining strength now. S&P futures up 0.2% or 7 points after being little changed for much of the morning. Dow futures up 0.1% or 32 points. And NASDAQ futures adding to their gains up 0.3% or 35 points. The DAX in Germany, little change. 10-year treasury down 0.2, yield 3.69%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.38%. NYMEX crude oil is up more than 2% of $1.51 at $74.35 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $6.90 at $18.52.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0611 against the dollar. British pound 1.2020. The yen 132.49. And Bitcoin little changed at about $16,800. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 6:56 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at some of the names moving in the pre-market individual stocks. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. And Kriti, of course, the big corporate news this morning is the word of even more layoffs from Amazon, and that's certainly moving that stock this morning.
And a similar reaction to what you saw off Salesforce yesterday when they announced their 10% workforce. Essentially, even though there is a human element to this, putting that aside, the stock market actually tends to reward news like this. The idea here being that cost efficiency is really at its core, now that you actually have fewer employees, perhaps you can reallocate those funds to research and development, for example, which is a major part of the tech sphere as well, but as well as other kind of cost-efficient metrics. Nevertheless, AMZN is your ticker. The shares are rallying off that news, up about 2.8%. Like you said, they are laying off more people, over 18,000 employees. It's biggest corporate workforce reduction ever, Nathan. Of course, like I said, this does, of course, follow Salesforce news from yesterday, where they were going to cut 10% of their workforce. A quick check on those shares, up about 0.3% as well. CRM is the ticker and, of course, a major Dow component as well. But, Nathan, it's not the only one we have to keep an eye on. ExxonMobil is also rallying this morning. Mm. XOM is the ticker, up about 1.1%. Now, it's kind of interesting, the story, because on the surface, they're saying that they're expecting lower oil, lower natural gas prices are going to, at the end of the day, hurt their fourth quarter earnings that are due later this month. But at the end of the day, they are also a major refining business. And they're saying that, well, actually, some of the refining capacity might actually be better in the fourth quarter. So something that's already been kind of priced in is, as you start to see these oil contracts drop lower and lower, these oil companies have also already kind of priced that in to some extent. And it looks like the refining capacity was the real question, just given all of the kind of natural disasters we've had in the fourth quarter of last year and how a lot of these refining capacities in the Gulf of Mexico, but also on the coast of California, would be able to kind of keep up with it. So XOM is your ticker, up 1.1%, a little bit of a sigh of relief there. Mm-hmm. And Nathan, I'll leave you with one last one. Okay. Western Digital, a Bloomberg report, a Bloomberg scoop, if you will, climbing 6.4% this morning, WDC, after reporting that they might restart merger talks with Japan's Kioxia.
Okay. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta keeping an eye on individual movers for us this morning on a morning where we've kind of seen futures trade a little bit flat, though we have seen NASDAQ futures particularly start to gain a little bit of traction this morning. Right now, they're up 0.3% or 31 points on the NASDAQ futures. S&P futures contracts a touch higher, up 5 points. That's a gain of 0.1%. Right now, Dow futures are a little changed, higher by 7 points this morning. The 10-year Treasury is down 2.32, yield 3.69%, yield on the 2-year 4.38%. Kriti mentioned Exxon moving higher. We're looking at crude prices. They're moving higher as well. NYMEX crude right now is up 2% at $74.31 a barrel. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager along with Karen Moscow, and it is 6:59 on Wall Street. Stay with us. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz starts right now.
Live from the financial capital of the world, broadcasting across the globe, this is WBBR New York, Bloomberg 1130.
Nothing has really changed between the end of 2022 and the first day of 2023.
They inflate.